Well, this morning we are continuing in a sermon series we're calling, Who Do People Say That I Am? It's a sermon series where we are looking in the Bible at all of the different ways people have interpreted Jesus, what kind of man he was. And if you've been with us over the past few weeks, you'll remember that Jesus has been interpreted in a multitude of different ways. So some of the ways people have seen Jesus have actually been quite positive. People have called him a teacher. People have called him a prophet. Then again, some ways people have interpreted Jesus have been negative. They called him a glutton and a drunkard. Some called him uncaring. All of which leads us to our scripture passage this morning, where Jesus is not accused of being bad. Instead, he's accused of being ungodly. He's accused of being evil. It's an interesting scripture Sarah just read, and we're going to look at it, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter, and we are your clay. Melt us and mold us, make us and use us, have thine own way. Amen. Well, there's a story pastors absolutely love to tell to each other. It's a story of a young female pastor who was appointed to serve her very first church. Now, when she arrived at the church, this pastor did everything she could think of to make a good first impression. She visited all the shut-ins within the first week. She learned everyone in the congregation's name and where they were from. On Sunday morning, she preached with vitality and vigor. She followed the rules of social decorum to a T. And yet, despite her very best efforts, there remained one man in the congregation who simply refused to accept her leadership. The man wouldn't give her the time of day. Well, this young pastor was not easily dissuaded, and so she decided she wanted to try and win this man's approval. She went to him, and she invited him to go fishing with her, knowing that this man's favorite pastime was fishing. Well, two of them got in a boat. They went out to the middle of the lake. Only when they got to the middle of the lake, they realized they had left their tackle box back on the dock. Well, would you believe this pastor got out of the boat, she walked across the water. She got that tackle box and she brought it back to him. She said, "You know, I know we haven't always seen eye to eye, but I would really like to be your pastor if you would let me be." But the man paused and just shook his head. He said, "I don't know, you seem like a nice girl, but I just don't think you have what it takes. I mean, look at you. You can't even swim." There are some people in this world you're simply not going to please. Doesn't matter how many miracles you perform, doesn't matter how many good deeds you do, there's some people who are never going to be satisfied. Some people are always going to think the worst in you, despite your very best efforts, all of which brings us back to our scripture passage this morning. And the story of Jesus' relationship with the Pharisees. See, Matthew tells us, one day in a little town called Capernaum, the crowds brought to Jesus a man who was broken by the evil of the world. So broken, in fact, this man could neither see or speak. And the crowds asked Jesus, the crowds begged Jesus to heal this man, to do something different in this man's life, to restore this man. After all, Jesus himself, he knew what it was like to wrestle with demons. Jesus himself had spent 40 days in the wilderness wrestling with the devil. He knew what kind of impact that evil could have on a person's life. So with great compassion, he looked at the man and he took pity. And he reached out and he touched the man. and the man who could neither see nor speak could see and speak. Jesus freed the man of his demons. And yet, when the Pharisees saw what had happened, when they saw what Jesus had done, they simply turned to the crowd and they said, "It's only by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons, that this man cast out demons." That's who the Pharisees said Jesus was in that very moment. They said Jesus had a demon. They said that he was not in his right mind. They said he was suffering from a form of insanity. And why did the Pharisees say that? Why did they accuse Jesus of being crazy? Well, they thought, it's because he healed someone they didn't think could be healed. It's because Jesus changed someone's life they didn't think could change. They looked at what had happened. They looked at the transformation that had taken place, and they said it can't happen. They said he must have a demon. The Pharisees accused him of being crazy. I'm reminded of the story of Ruth Graham. Ruth Graham, the wife of the late Billy Graham, who back in the 1980s began a practice of writing letters to condemned prisoners in the North Carolina prison system. These were people facing imminent execution. And so Ms. Graham would write these prisoners and offer a word of hope to them. She would share the gospel with them. She would talk about forgiveness and new life in Christ. She would say how anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old sins have passed away. One of the prisoners that Ruth Graham wrote to was a woman named Velma Barfield. Velma was the first woman in America to be convicted and sentenced to death by lethal injection. And she had put rat poison in her boyfriend's beer, and while she was in prison, she confessed to 3 other murders. Ms. Graham wrote to Velma, she expressed the hope that she had in the gospel, what Jesus could do. And would you believe Velma accepted Christ there in prison? She said she became a born-again Christian in prison. She said her life was different in prison. Billy Graham himself praised Velma for the transformation that had taken place. And Ruth Graham wrote an open letter to the governor asking for clemency, asking that her life be spared. Ruth explained to the governor of North Carolina that the church needed more people like Velma who could testify to the hope we have in Jesus. The church needed her story so that other people who didn't have hope would have hope of what God could do. She said, "Don't kill her. Please don't kill her. The church needs her." Yet on November 2nd, 1984, Velma Barfield was executed. All the local papers agreed it was the right thing to do. They said, after all, she was probably faking her conversion. They said, after all, people like that don't change. People like that can change. If you think that she actually changed, well, you are just as crazy as she was. "Oh, he has a demon," the Pharisees said. "He's not right in his mind," the Pharisees said. "It can't happen," the Pharisees said. The Pharisees simply couldn't believe that God could transform a person, could change a person. The way the man had changed. But Jesus reached out and he touched the man so that the man who could neither see nor speak could see and speak. Jesus reached out and he touched the man. And he freed him of his demons. You know, there's a theologian by the name of Robert Jensen who once said that the difference between worshiping a dead God, that's an idol, and worshiping a living God is a dead God will never surprise you. With the dead God, blind people stay blind, and mute people stay mute, and demon-possessed people always stay demon-possessed. Dead gods don't change. When you worship a living God, when you worship a God who is active and at work in the world, Well, things never stay the same. When you worship a living God, Jensen said, sick people find themselves healed, and broken people find themselves restored, and dead people find themselves brought to new life again. Jesus reached out and he touched the man. And he freed him of his demons. No, when you worship a living God, things never stay the same. So God took a broken woman named Mary Magdalene and made her a witness to the resurrection. And God took a criminal named Saul and turned him into an apostle. And God took a doubter named Thomas and made him into a saint. In fact, as far as I can tell, there's not one person in the scripture who has truly encountered Jesus Christ whose life has remained the same. Instead, the Bible tells us, people change. Murderers become saints, and prostitutes become prophets, and broken people turn into something far more beautiful than they could have ever been on their own. John Wesley, the founder of our Methodist tradition, calls it the process of sanctification. Sanctify, it means to make holy. It's that bold and ludicrous claim that we of people of faith have, that claim where we say, from your very first breath until your very dying day, God refuses to let you stay the same. Instead, God continues to reach out and touch your life. God continues to reach out and form you and transform you and reform you into something more beautiful. Jesus reached out and he touched the man. And the man's life was never the same again. I remember having a conversation a couple years ago here at church. I was out in the narthex before worship began. I was getting coffee when a visitor came up, a man who had been to our church for several weeks, enough time that I had learned his name. I asked the man how his weekend was. We were making small talk, and he said to me, "You know, this has been the best weekend ever." I said, "Really? Well, tell me, what's made this weekend so great?" And the man said, "Well, you know what made this weekend great was my wife is out of town." He said, "I had the entire house to myself. It was just me and the dog." And do you know, for the very first time since I can remember, that is the first time I have been alone in my house and I have not gotten trashed. I didn't touch the bottle. He said, all weekend long, I just sat with the dog. We watched Netflix all night. I got 8 hours of sleep, and I'm on church on Sunday morning. I didn't think that was possible. No, he said, this has been one of the best weekends I can remember. Jesus reached out, and he touched the man. And the man's life was never the same again. Now, I know, you have your demons. I know we all have those broken places inside us, those dark places inside us that we suffered with for far too long. And I know the Pharisees have told you they're not going to change. I know the Pharisees have told you you can't change, that you're going to be like this forever, but I'm here to tell you a different story. I'm here to tell you that in Jesus Christ, there is always, always, always hope, so don't give up on God. And remember, God has not given up on you. He said he just keeps reaching out. Again and again, reaching out and forming and reforming and transforming our lives until we become something even more beautiful. I know it sounds crazy. I know some people won't believe me, but I've come here to tell you this. God is not done with you yet. God will never be done with you. Thanks be to God. And amen. Will you pray with me? For your persistence, O God, we give you thanks. And for the way your love continues to find us, encounter us in all of our brokenness, the way that you meet our demons and you free us We praise your name. And pray, Lord, that you might continue to do a good work within us so that we, your people, might go into your world and also do good works to share light, to share hope, to share your good news. So change us, Lord, this day. Speak to us and free us. For we offer this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.